This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
Okay, Mariner game, of course, with the pregame starts at 10, so we have 2 hours. We're here from 8 until 10. We're taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's waste no time and get into some headlines. Well, yesterday the Mariners, the Seahawks ended up getting a chance to fill one of the roles at cornerback. Demarius Randle, who last year was a safety, a former first-round pick of the Green Bay Packers, who's had 3 years at cornerback, signed probably a minimum salary deal, and he's going to be a cornerback, not a safety, next year for Seattle. So that deal is done. You know, Quentin Dunbar ended up signing a one-year deal for the minimum salary to go to Detroit. So at least now that has been addressed. It looks to me like, you know, what the Seahawks are looking at is probably starting two former 49ers, DJ Reed and Akello Witherspoon, at the cornerback position, although certainly Trey Flowers is going to be in the mix. Randall's going to be in the mix. So that seems to be the plan. So at least for competition's sake, to add a depth at the cornerback position. The Las Vegas Raiders ended up bringing back former first-round pick Carl Joseph. He had gone to Cleveland in free agency on a one-year deal. Didn't really do too much there. And so now he's back. He becomes the third Raider in Raider history to be a former first-rounder to then come back after being either let go or not re-signed. And so Carl Joseph back with the Raiders. Mariners, of course, yesterday had the day off. They had lost to Minnesota the other day and now have the game with the pregame starting at 10. They have a three-game series with the Minnesota Twins. And those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton. How are we doing this fine Saturday morning, my friend?
Doing well.
Oh, good, good. Hey, right quick. Sam Darnold going to the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think it was a good move, and I think that they got him at a pretty decent price because they didn't have to give up a first or a second-round pick. I mean, it was sure it was a second-round pick next year and a fourth-round pick, mm-hmm. but they only had to give up a sixth-round pick this year, and at least now they've addressed their cornerback position. Now, the next move is trying to figure out what they can do with Teddy Bridgewater, who's on a three-year $63 million contract, and they basically have given him the ability to go shop himself. We'll see if he can find a place to do in some kind of a trade.
I mean, I mean, looking at this late in the market right now, teams turning their eyes toward the draft.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you think Sam Darnold can resurrect his career in Carolina?
I think so, yeah, because I think, you know, he gets to work with Matt Rhule and also Joe Brady. So now he has two offensive guys that can try to help him out. And so I think that, I think it's a good fit there, and I think he does have a chance. They also have more talent in the skilled positions than the Jets.
No, the Jets are turning their eyes toward the draft as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, every team is. Yeah, because right now what you're seeing is fewer deals and more minimum salary deals.
Oh, yeah, definitely right now. Oh, yeah, right now as far as free agency, it's gonna, if you get picked up right now, it's going to be a minimum salary deal. It's just, you're just trying to get on a team right now. But as far as the Jets is concerned, are they looking at the Wilson kid?
They're looking at Wilson. Zach Wilson. I mean, the first three picks right now, as it appears to me, is going to be, you know, Trevor Lawrence going to Jacksonville at number one, Zach Wilson going at number two to the Jets, and then it does look like Mac Jones is going to go to San Francisco.
What do you think about that Mac Jones moving up on the board that high? Do you think he's that good of a player?
Well, I mean, I don't think – I think he's the fifth best quarterback in this draft. But what you can see is that the Kyle Shanahan, you know, he fits what Kyle Shanahan wants because Kyle Shanahan, you know, doesn't necessarily need a running quarterback. Remember, when he was back in Washington as the offensive coordinator, he had RG3, but he got better production out of Kirk Cousins. And so what Shanahan wants, he wants a quarterback who, one, is accurate – that's Mac Jones. Two is smart. Okay. That's Mac Jones. And three knows what to do in down and distance situations and be very efficient in that. And so even though it was costly to trade up, and you know Mac Jones might have fallen down past 10 in this draft, but they wanted to make sure they can get him.
You know, I look at Mac Jones, and you know, he played at Alabama. this is kind of unprecedented year with the COVID situation and all that. You know, a lot of teams had players opt out of their teams and didn't play. A lot of teams were playing true freshmen out there. I think it could be an enigma when you look at him and you try to perceive that he's what you think he is. You know what I'm saying? Because when you come to the NFL, it's a totally different dogfight. When you play with five stars, now you're going against five stars. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're going against the best of the best. That's why I look at the Justin Fields kid. I think he has a better upside. And when you talk about the running quarterback, it's not the ability to run. It's the ability to change that pocket. You know, some quarterbacks have that ability. If you look at in Kansas City,
right,
Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, those guys can instead of having to get rid of the ball in 2 to 3 seconds, those guys can prolong a play up to 5 to 6 seconds, thus putting a lot of pressure on your defense, you know, especially for cornerbacks. You have to hold up with an athlete like a wide receiver. Well, so what I'm getting at is when they say that he's that type of fit, you know, to me sometimes that stationary quarterback is a guy that he's just asking for problems.
Uh-huh.
Today in the NFL, with the quickness of the defense and the way they get at you, does that make sense?
It makes sense. Yeah. No, I would tend to agree. It's like, who fits your system better? And you'd have to say that Kyle Shanahan is looking for a system quarterback, not necessarily the best athlete, because it worked okay with RG3. They made the playoffs the first year, and then of course he got hurt. But overall, I think that what you're looking at is that you want the quarterback of your choice, and he thinks that he can get a guy like Mac Jones and start to win. Now again, Mac Jones is not going to play much this year because they have Jimmy Garoppolo. But you also realize, as much as they like Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan preferred to wait till free agency and try to get Kirk Cousins.
Because I look at it this way. It's not really an athletic quarterback. A quarterback can be athletic, but if he's a quarterback that can function in the pocket, change the trajectory of the pocket, it makes it more viable of a, you know, you can prolong plays and do that. Take, for instance, you know, like right now, what they're doing over there, like with Houston, with Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Deshaun Watson is not only, you know, besides his issues and stuff, but not only him, the player, he can function within a pocket. But when it needs be, he can change that pocket's trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, I mean, you know, Matt Jones, we just wait to see what happens with that. And as far as the Jimmy Garoppolo, that inconsistency, you might see Matt Jones out there earlier.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it'll be one of those things where if he can learn things quickly, then maybe what they can do is trade Jimmy Garoppolo by the trade deadline. You know, that could be a possibility if a team needs a quarterback. You know, that could be one that they can look at, because, you know, the idea is, and Kyle Shanahan volunteered this right at the end of the season. He says, I like that Kansas City model. The Kansas City model, of course, bringing Patrick Mahomes in, sitting him for the first year, putting him in maybe in week 17 if they're not in the playoffs, and doing it that way. And so that was the comments that he seemed to make. And so you can see what the plan is. And unless they get a first-round pick from New England for Jimmy Garoppolo, which they won't, they're going to start Jimmy Garoppolo next year.
Where's the market for Teddy Bridgewater at, Mr. Clayton?
Maybe Denver on a cheap deal. I mean, because what I look at with Bridgewater is kind of like the Brock Osweiler situation. Remember, Osweiler signed a four-year deal at $72 million, $18 million a year. All right, so what they did is that he stunk. He was terrible, and they wanted to move the contract. And so they had the Cleveland Browns, who at that time had the analytics people running things, and they had plenty of cap room and plenty of draft choices. And so what they ended up doing is that making that trade, paying a little bit of money on Osweiler's contract, and then, you know, giving up a second-round pick to move him. They gave a second-round pick to Cleveland, even though all they got in return was a fourth-round compensatory pick, and they gave, like, about a sixth-round pick. And so just to move that contract. And so let's say that you're the Panthers. You've got a $10 million guarantee on the contract. So what you do, you call Denver,
You know, George Payton was involved in drafting him in Minnesota. You call him up and you say, okay, here's the deal. We'll pay the $10 million because we're only paying $4 million plus in base salary for Sam Darnold. And it's like, we'll give you the $10 million so you can have him, you can rework his contract or anything else. And then, give us a seventh round pick in 2022 or 2023.
Yeah, and then you could possibly go over there and do some things. You know, I look at Denver. Denver's another team. They're predicated heavily on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Their ability to run the ball is paramount for them. That's how Vic Fangio looks at football, you know. So it would probably be a good split. What about with Houston with the situation with Deshaun Watson? What if he gets suspended? Would they take a chance on trying to get him?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's like first off, it's like whether he gets suspended or not. I mean, the idea is he doesn't want to be there. I mean, so he was going to hold out. So it's like there's no urgency on anything in that regard. And certainly the situation is really bad with Watson because, you know, Watson is, one that, 22 people of women have sued him for sexual harassment and all that stuff. So we'll see where that goes. But, in the end, they've got Tyrod Taylor, and maybe they bring in Alex Smith or somebody else. But I don't think they move for Bridgewater.
Tyrod Taylor, to me, is an ultra-conservative guy. Now, Alex Smith, he could be that guy.
Yeah.
But I think since you got to worry about his health as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, but also it's you're hoping at some point that you can get Watson to come back and play. He's the fifth best quarterback in football right now, but right now nobody knows.
Yeah, nobody figured it out right now as far as that's concerned. The Jets are going to go all rookie.
Not all rookie. I mean, they've been active in free agency. I mean, they picked up Carl Lawrence and, they picked up...
I mean, as far as quarterback is concerned.
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they'll pick up a veteran somewhere, but right now it looks like they're all going to go Zach Wilson.
Wow, all in with him. Pretty good quarterback. I like the way that guy plays.
Yeah.
You know, he's another guy that I like his style. He can move the pocket. He changes his trajectory. He's pretty accurate. I like the way he plays.
Mm-hmm.
He reminds me of a Russell Wilson.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. They both got the same last name. So
mm-hmm. There you
I
go.
Mean, they.
So hey, JB, got to run.
Mr. Clayton, we'll talk next Saturday, my
friend.
Right,
sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm doing fine, John. How are you this morning?
Doing well.
Good. Good, John. John, I was listening to you on School of Professor with Tony Pauline. That was a nice podcast. I enjoyed listening.
Oh, well, thank you.
Absolutely. Although he did have a unique way of talking about Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I know. The pronunciation was so different because it's Sam Darnold.
Right.
Yeah.
So, whatever, but I enjoyed the content of that show. I thought it was really informative.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. John, today I finally get to see my son play freshman football.
Oh, really?
They had an abbreviated season one and two. They were playing this whole, beginning of the year, every weekend. But he gets to play, he plays for O'Day, and they're going to play Seattle Prep.
Okay.
Seattle Prep's home field is at Montlake Park. And because it's a park, it's a public space, people can go watch the game.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah. So I'm excited. I love to watch live football.
What position does he play?
Well, he's experimenting with safety and cornerback right
now. Okay.
He wanted it first to be a receiver, but I think it's a pretty impacted field, and he likes to hit people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's well-suited to playing the safety or cornerback. Speaking of cornerback, Richard Sherman, what's his status? I think that you were saying on some of the broadcasts on this station mm-hmm. here that he's probably going to go into broadcasting if he doesn't get an offer that's something that will pay him what he wants.
Yeah, exactly, because it's a tough situation because, I mean, you look at it, and he even admitted it's like nothing's going to happen with him until after the draft. And
that's right. That's my understanding, too, is that the teams are going to want to you know, get their players in tow with the draft, and then kind of he can see the lay of the land, and they can see the lay of the land, maybe fill in a need if it's required.
But you can look at all these most recent cornerback deals, and I'm sure it's going to be the same thing for Demarius Randall coming back to Seattle and coming back as a cornerback. I mean, Quentin Dunbar was out there. He gets the NFL minimum. I mean, all the corners right now are getting NFL minimums. And so it's like, I don't know if he wants to play for, you know, what'll be 107.5. $1.075 million and $137.5 signing bonus. I mean, is he really willing to play for, you know, $1.2 million? I don't think so.
Probably not. He's probably looking at, what I would say, $5 million. That's probably what he's looking for a year.
I'm sure he's looking for more than that, but again, he's not going to get it.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that I think that market is probably not going to be there for. I mean, there he might be able to slip into a team that has that kind of money, but probably not.
Well, at this stage, I mean, what, there's been 175 free agent signings and UFAs going to different teams. 175. You know, that's about 9 or 10 more than last year. And you know, we're at the stage right now where, you know, it's just going to be volume and not, you know, number of, you know, not getting good numbers. And so with that in mind, it's like, I mean, there could be as many as like 190 guys that move to different teams, but they're not going to get any money.
Right. I think your hunch is right about the whole journalism angle. You know, the guy can write too. He's written a column for Sports Illustrated in the past from Monday Morning Quarterback with Peter King, and that was when I read those articles, I was like, wow, this is good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed reading his stuff, and you know, and of course he's got a natural talent to be able to speak, as you well know, in your audience.
He's a great analyst. I mean, he knows the game so well. He studies it so well.
Right. He really does. He knows about the nuts and bolts and whatnot in the particular.
And don't you think in broadcasting, I mean, he's going to get more than $1.2 million?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. John, there have been rumblings about another ex-Seahawk from Legion of Bone, Earl Thomas. A lot of the Raider nation say, hey, Earl Thomas is still out there. Earl Thomas is still out there. And I don't think that Earl Thomas has got any kind of market.
Think he does.
Yeah, you don't go flipping off your, you know, the revered head coach of your team, and then you don't get the rumblings with the other team that brought you in, you know, and have fights at practice repeatedly.
Well, look at the problems that they had. I mean, particularly with the experience with Antonio Brown, do you think they want to go through something in a similar way with Earl Thomas? I don't see it.
No. I don't think the Raiders are going to want to touch that. They did bring in, as you mentioned at the top of the hour, Carl Joseph. I thought that was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
You know, I think he underwhelmed most folks when he was with the Raiders. He just never seemed to get traction, and I think it's really a wonderful notion that we've been talking about, is like the great coaches, what they do is they take their player strengths and they use them to their abilities, as opposed to having them fit into a system. He might just fit in real well with the Gus Bradley system. John, what do you think?
Could be, because I mean, he's a good enough athlete, that's for sure.
Right, yeah. And he's a hard-hitting guy. I mean, he's not big, but he's definitely hard-hitting. He likes to bring the heat when given the opportunity. He always took good angles, too. He never got beat in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good thing, too. And speaking of defenses, John, so I know that a lot of people have a debate about the top three defenses that have ever played the game. I mean, for me, it's the 85 Bears, the Legion of Boom, and then the 2000 Ravens. What do you think?
What about the this is one, and because of the Raiders, they didn't make it to the Super Bowl, but I think the 76 Steelers were the best I've ever seen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because, again, what happened was that, they – get off to Terry Bradshaw gets hurt. They get off to like a 1-3, 1-4 start. Then they just started shutting out everybody the rest of the way. So then they go to Baltimore and they beat Burt Jones, who they hate, and beat them like 42-14. But in the second half of the game, the Colts started taking cheap shots and knocked out Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer. So now here's the Steelers. They go out to Oakland to try to take on the Raiders, and they're down to Booby Harrison as his running back.
Yeah. You know, they never talked much about that linebacking core. Everyone knows about Jack Lambert. They may know about Jack Ham. There was Andy Russell there, too.
Yeah.
And you know, that core of linebackers, they were phenomenal, John.
They were.
I mean, just incredible players. And, you know, we've talked about measurables and how coaches sometimes take measurables too much into account. You know, they got this skinny guy from Kent State to play middle linebacker.
Right, who smoked all the time and smoked in the locker room. And
you know, and you know, when he wanted to get ghoulish, he'd take his front teeth out.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, they had their own characters on that team. You know, they talk about the Raiders, but mm-hmm. you know, Steelers had some characters too.
Yeah, they had L.C. Greenwood, and you know, you had Joe Green.
Those
and
shoes, those putrid shoes.
Yeah, oh, Frank O'Hare. I mean, they had Frenchie Fuqua. I mean, there's so many characters on that team. Agreed.
Well, and you got to give Chuck Knoll some credit for Dean Norwell's personalities, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of Knoll, you know, he was a wine guy, John. And hear the latest? Yeah, he was the latest. You hear the latest edition about who's now got a winery?
Who's that?
Terrell Owens.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. I thought that was pretty remarkable. I mean, and everybody probably knows about Dick Vermeil and Damon Hewer with Passing Time,
right,
and Drew Bledsoe and Charles Woodson. You know, they all have wineries, but Terrell Owens now.
Terrell Owens, wow, T.O., wow.
I know, right? I don't see that, by the way, just from his antics on the field.
No, I agree.
How he presents himself. I just don't see that.
Very strange. Hey, but I've got to run, so.
Okay, John. Okay, right. Bye-bye.
Jim, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Tara in Mercer Island. Hey, Tara.
Hi, Mr. Clinton. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
Good. The Seahawks added Randall. What other moves do you see for them to shore up their cornerback position?
I think that's probably going to be it. I mean, you know, if a good minimum salary guy, is willing to come again, I think they might add. But when you think about it, it's like, okay, so they have, you know, four options. No, they have even, well, I don't know if they're going to bring back Nico Thorpe. I mean, that's a possibility too. But, you know, they already have the situation where you've got probably Akello, you got Akello Witherspoon battling Trey Flowers, then you have DJ Randall. I mean, you have DJ Reed on another side. You still have Amari Darbo as a candidate. Now you have Randall back there. So they needed to add one guy, and obviously, you know, I don't know what it was that broke down with Quentin Dunbar, but you know, he ends up going to Detroit. But you know, they needed to add one more, and they've added one more. Now there's not a lot of money invested at the cornerback position, but you know, if Flowers has a good year, then he can get a contract extension. If Reed has a good year, he can get a contract extension. So we'll see where it goes, but I think the Randall move pretty well now says, okay, maybe if you get something in the draft, you get it.
Right, I agree with you, and a lot of people are down on Trey Flowers, and rightfully so, but I've always liked him, and I hope he has a bounce back year. I'm very concerned about on the other side, because, and I mentioned with this with you last week, of Akello Witherspoon.
Yeah.
I think he'll be good, but at the same time, he was getting pushed out of the Niners system. So I'm curious about him.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you can see that, you know, maybe coming in with Pete Carroll's system and all that stuff, he can pick it up. I mean, he certainly has the size dimensions that they like. They did give him a one-year, $4 million guaranteed contract, and he does have talent. I still remember a couple years ago talking to him at training camp, and he was on the rise back then, but things started to slip. So why they slipped, I don't know, but they did phase him out in the last 2 years with the 49ers, but he does have the athletic ability, the size, all those different things, and apparently the belief is that they can maybe coach him up and be a starter.
What similarities do you see in the Niners system? Because if you think about it, Richard Sherman moved on from us and went there, and injuries permitted, he had a good year, and then DJ Reed came here, and he was getting pushed out, and then Akello Witherspoon's coming here. What similarities do they have scheme-wise that makes them have success?
Well, again, it's the same. It's very similar, but I think what it comes down to is that they probably didn't do the kick step as well as the Seahawks do, because that's the big thing with the Seahawks. I mean, you use the kick step, and the kick step keeps you in a position to, you know, stay with the wide receiver and also to make plays off that. And so now it's just going to be a matter of getting Witherspoon, you know, better suited on the, you know, the kick step. But you remember, Robert Saleh runs the same system as Pete Carroll because he was here and learned that. But maybe he didn't do it as effectively as the Seahawks do with the cornerbacks. And that's the one thing. I mean, when you see cornerbacks from the Seahawks go to other teams, they tend not to do as well. I mean, we saw with Brian Maxwell, we saw it with others, that they go there and they don't use the kick step enough, and because of that, they tend to drop off.
Right. Switching topics to the Mariners,
yeah.
Marco has had two rough starts in a row. What do you think is going on?
I don't know.
Him?
I mean, too many walks, too many pitches. He's just struggling, and so he's got to pull things back in. Cause it's not like they're going to take their ace starter right now and take him and put him to the bench. They can't do it, particularly with James Paxton getting hurt, and looks like his season's going to be over. But no, I think they've just got to work with him and see what they can get him right, because he's been off the first two games he's played.
Right, but I really like what Kikuchi's doing, pitching 97 miles an hour. Maybe he can take his spot.
Yeah, right now I don't think they're going to make an adjustment, but they've got to make sure he makes an adjustment because he's just not pitching well. Hey, Tara, thank you for the phone call.
Thank you.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Dave Grosby will join us at 9:30. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Short show today. Mariner baseball pregame starts at 10. Let's go to Mike in Renton. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning.
Good. How are you and the missus?
Doing well.
Good, good, good. Hey, John, I heard something earlier in the week on another channel. They were talking about the draft with the Steelers. Don't they have the sixth pick in the third round?
Probably. I think so, yeah.
Yeah. They said that they might draft this quarterback out of Florida named Trask. Am I saying it right?
Trask, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're looking at him.
Okay.
He's a big guy, 6'5". He's got a strong arm. And what did you heard on that?
That's a possibility but ultimately I don't think he's going to be the replacement for Ben Roethlisberger because, I know Russell Wilson came out of the third round and Tom Brady came out of the sixth round and all that stuff, but I don't know in this draft if, the sixth or seventh best quarterback is going to be good enough to eventually come in and be a starter. We'll see, but it's going to be a consideration, because I still think in the first round they're going to lean toward a edge rusher because I think they're looking at, with Bud Dupree gone and, they lose Vince Williams at the inside. They had to cut him. I think they're going to take more of a linebacker. They're not going to take a wide receiver. And maybe in another round they'll take a cornerback. But I think right now edge rusher is what they're probably leaning toward.
Yeah. I'm looking at the draft next year. And, boy, it doesn't look like much of nothing for quarterbacks. So
no.
This could be a couple more years wait for a quarterback.
Could
coming
be,
out
yeah.
Of college.
And Ben's on a 1 year deal basically, so I still think he can come back and re-sign and do all those different things. But the next year's draft for quarterbacks does not look good. It's a better draft, but not for quarterbacks.
Hey, John, I want to ask you something. I was analyzing this trade that Carolina made with the Jets. Do you think that the Jets probably made a mistake by getting rid of him?
No, because again, it's like, they got value, and it's certainly not the first or second round pick you'd like to have in this year's draft. But then, what you can see is Joe Douglas is looking at the long term because, next year's draft, because they got a 2 and a 4, is going to be better than this year's draft. And the reason is, you have the opt-outs this year. And like, for example, there may be 3 or 4 opt-outs go in the first 13 picks. I mean, because you look at the two top offensive linemen, including Penny Sewell at Oregon. I mean, he opted out. He didn't play this past season. And then you had so many other guys that, which is making next year's draft, more valuable, is that you've got a lot of guys went back taking advantage of that second senior year. And so they're in college an extra year, and so now they can come out with another year of experience and be available in next year's draft. And, of course, you know, you should have everything pretty much back to normal so you can have the combine and everything else to be able to do that. And so, no, I think they're looking at it as like, okay, we got 21 picks over the next two seasons, what, 10 this year, 11 next year. And so a 2 and a 4 next year is valuable. And if you're Carolina, you still got them at a pretty good price.
Yeah. I think that's going to be the team to watch next year.
Mm-hmm.
They got a coach that knows what he's doing, and he's putting their, all the pieces together. And I really think that Sam Arnold's going to work out there.
Yeah, I do too. Because I just think that he'll do well with Joe Brady, Matt Rhule. You know, you got two offensive coaches, a head coach and an offensive coordinator. You know, a lot of people think that Brady's going to end up being one of the next head coaches in this league. You know, I was a little surprised he didn't get more action as a head coach candidate this year, but you know, probably wise because maybe he wasn't ready. But no, I think that that's a good situation in Carolina.
Yeah. Hey, John, you know the Marlboro Man back in the 80s when he used to ride a horse and smoke a cigarette?
Remember that? Yeah, I remember
that. You know that's his uncle.
Whose uncle? Sam Darnold's uncle?
Yeah, that's his uncle.
Is that right?
Uncle.
Wow.
Yeah, that's his uncle.
How about that?
Yeah, because he was a big guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you go back and look at those commercials, he's like 6'4", 6'5". You know, big guy with a cowboy hat on with a cigarette in his mouth.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Good talking to you. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Irish Mankey. Irish Mankey, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Clayton. And once again, it's a fabulous weekend and a super Saturday and much to say, but we'll spend little time on it today.
Okay.
Mr. Clayton, first of all, WrestleMania tonight and tomorrow night. They split it up into a two-night affair, and it's huge, Mr. Clayton.
It is?
I've
not paid attention.
It's amazing what that man has done with that industry,
yeah.
You know?
No, Vince McMahon's done a good job with that.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant job. You know, anyway, but fan-sided website came out with an article about the NFL draft and the... Well, how do you say it? The draft where the person was taken very high, you know, late in the draft and
right.
Turned out to be a superstar. And they mentioned Joe Theismann, Dave Durson, Daryl LaMonica, Bob Kutensberg, and, of course, Joe Montana. Who mm-hmm. do you think this year's draft might be that one individual that everybody kind of didn't pay attention to?
Yeah.
And turns out to be something totally. Very special.
No idea. I mean, I'm still in the first round. I'm going to start to advance into the second and third round coming up reasonably soon. But it's like, I'm still concentrating on the first round because again,
okay.
with free agency and everything else, it's been so busy with 175 guys moving to different teams. You know, I've paid more attention to that.
It's all good. We'll ask you closer to the draft when you put it all together for us. But keep that in mind. I'm just curious who turns out to, well, what is it? The last guy drafted is called Mr.
Irrelevant. Yeah. I mean, this year is going to be that much tougher because, again, it's a bad defensive draft. Because of the opt-outs and everything else, I mean, you're going to get into the fourth and fifth round, and you're going to find players with undrafted grades.
Well, great. I hope as you're starting to build into that second round and third round, you notice that there seem to be quite a few Irish players in there, hopefully,
mm-hmm.
huh?
Although, what happened with the Irish players? Because, at least three of them didn't make the checkups in Indianapolis because they had COVID-19.
Is this recently?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's supposed to be, you know, Thursday and Friday was going to be the days of arrival for the 150 players that were there, and there's like three from Notre Dame that couldn't make it because of COVID-19. Now, again, I don't know if they tested positive, if it was contact or whatever it was.
Right. Well, I don't think that's affecting them in any way, per se, with the draft. That the talent is the talent, and it'll get appraised, and... you know, picks will be made. So.
Yeah, but also it's like, if you're going to be one of the 150, it's like there's questions about your health and all that stuff, and those questions aren't going to even be answered because now, I mean, you had to rely on the doctors in Notre Dame trying to, you know, give the full thing, and so now that puts even more question on a couple of those guys.
Okay, but so without names, I do know that they're talking about up to 10 Irish players possibly will be drafted in this current draft.
Right.
So, you know, without the names, it's hard to say, well, are they the top tier second round picks? There's an article that talks about three players potentially taken in the second round.
Yeah.
So, you know, it who knows? But it's not, you know, it's a concern for me to, as far as any individual, you know, hopefully they'll get through this this storm in mm-hmm. life and come out at the other end okay, you know. But I don't know. I can't predict who they are. I don't know. So I wouldn't worry so much. I think the cream will rise to the top, and Notre Dame this year has quite a few kids that can play football in the NFL. So good luck to you today. Have a great day, and say hi to Mrs. Clayton and tell her, go Irish!
There you go. Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Chris. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing well. How about you?
Hey, doing very well. Hey, I'm a huge Husky fan. So,
okay.
The reason why I'm saying this is because I just want to know, I know David Moore is not with the Seahawks anymore. Now, is there a big possibility if he could make the team? The former Husky, we got him, I think he was undrafted. His name is Aaron Fuller. Do you think he could have that position for this season?
I doubt it. It's going to be tough. I mean, it's going to be tough for all the undrafted guys to be able to make it because, again, it's like the limited games, all those different things. I mean, only four games of experience? And, you know, the draft is very thin, and so I think that it'll be tough. I mean, practice squad, yes, but I think making the roster, no.
I'll see. And another question is, got a question for you about this, too. This is kind of interesting is why there's no press for Gonzaga like during the season. I know they talk about when they get into the big March Madness, but they just don't talk about Gonzaga during the season, like during the press. Now, why is that?
Well, mainly because I think that, you know, their conference is so easy. Now, again, this is a great team, and, you know, there's less talk, I think, about the, you know, college basketball than anything else because, you know, it comes up during football season. And football season dominates both in college and also in the NFL. And so when you start to break things down, you know, it's down the list. And so, you know, NCAA tournament time, yeah, it talks up really well. Maybe around the time that, you know, you can see the Huskies playing the Gonzaga. It's like that's one. But, you know, you know, there's not a lot of college basketball talk as it is NFL. It's not in football and baseball. Hockey certainly now. So it's just, you know, you get a little blurb in the paper, and that's about it.
I see. One more question is, do you think the Seahawks would do well this year than last season?
I think so, yeah, because I think that they've improved their roster. I think it's still getting better. You know, they're certainly better on the offensive line, which I thought this offensive line last year was the best they've had in 3 years. You know, they still need to still look at the third receiver position. You know, added a good tight end and a good system, you know, in Gerald Everett, and also getting that Rams 49ers system. Defensively, they've done a good job of, you know, fixing up the defensive end position, not only, you know, getting back Benson Mayoa and Carlos Dunlap, but then they had the bonus of adding, you know, Kerry Hyder, who, you know, wants to be, you know, the next Michael Bennett. And so, you know, they're okay at cornerback. So, no, I think it's a better team.
Hey, you know, I was going to just ask you about that, the Hyder guy.
Yeah.
Do you think he might be like the next Michael Bennett? And another question is, do you think Richard Sherman will be back?
I think he's not going to be as good as Michael Bennett, but I think that, you know, he can offer enough things that could be very similar to Michael Bennett from the five technique. And no, I don't think they're going to bring Richard Sherman back because, again, I just can't see him playing for the little money that teams are going to be offering. I don't see him playing this year. I mean, can you imagine Richard Sherman, you know, who was when he was in Seattle making $14 million playing for the minimum salary? Don't
see
it.
That's crazy, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't see it. So, hey, thank you for the phone call.
Okay.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.